You're listening to Wrong Story Short, a Braithwaite Communications podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Wrong Story Short, where we delve into what some companies get wrong about marketing and how they can fix it. I'm Alan Vickers, an account executive at Braithwaite Communications, and I'm joined by my colleague, Alessia Minori. Alessia, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Alessia Brunori, and I'm a junior associate here at Braithwaite Communications. I just graduated from the University of Scranton, and I'm really excited to be here today.
Joining us for this episode is Jason Rocker, principal at Braithwaite Communications. Jason, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Alan. You know, we've been telling stories for decades, and I love to be in this format and talk to you and hopefully help people get a little bit out of this podcast and feel better about where they're going from a marketing standpoint.
In the news, we are seeing a shift in the way athletic companies are marketing themselves for the Tokyo Olympics. With the Olympics being delayed a year, companies had no choice but to rethink their marketing strategies. Across the board, athletic companies have emphasized the importance of coming together during these unprecedented times. Instead of solely being concerned about their brand, we are seeing companies put their athletes' well-being first and providing them with the resources they need to succeed. What marketing benefits can be seen when companies focus less on brand promotion and more on supporting a community such as Olympic athletes?
There's quite a bit of research that speaks to the financial and business benefits of corporate social responsibility and ESG, which is environmental, social, and governance. And there is real value to be had from focusing on community initiatives and sort of overarching good for businesses. The research shows that businesses that focus on those components are often better run businesses. Their employees are often happier and more engaged at work. And ultimately, they have a better perception in the market, a better relationship with their communities, and ultimately a better bottom line. So there are real business benefits to community engagement, to corporate social responsibility, and ESG. The thing that businesses really need to be aware of and cognizant of when you're talking about corporate social responsibility or community initiatives is to make sure it's authentic, right? So the idea that we're not just trying to say, hey, let's be community-minded because we know it's going to help our bottom line. The idea is it should be community-mindedness or corporate social responsibility that aligns with your values as a business, your mission. And when those things are truly aligned, that's when the benefit is the greatest. You know, there's been a movement towards increasing marketing around environmental consciousness for some businesses that may not fully align with their business objectives or their business values. And when it's inauthentic, you know, there's a phrase that's kind of come to the forefront that it's called greenwashing, where businesses sort of put this environmental marketing filter over things to perceive that they're better at that than they really are. And that's when you can get into trouble. It really has to be authentic. And the same thing as it comes to corporate social responsibility. That has to be authentic and aligned with your business values and your mission and all those components to really make it be as effective as possible. And we've seen some of the same stuff there. You know, we'll coin a phrase here. We'll call it goodwill washing, where businesses are, sort of, again, putting that marketing layer over some of the things that they're doing to create more perception that they're doing more in the community than they really are. So, you know, whether it's corporate social responsibility or ESG, which are kind of synonymous at this point, the idea is there absolutely can and will be a positive business benefit to those initiatives, but it must be authentic with the brand. It must be authentic with the business's values, and it must be in line with the business's mission.
Companies all over the world have experienced setbacks as a result of COVID-19, just like Olympic athletes have. How can these companies use storytellings about hardships to market their brand and product?
We do quite a bit of crisis communications. And you know, when we talk about a crisis, we say it creates two sort of polar opposites for businesses. It's danger and opportunity. And, you know, the idea is any crisis, whether it's a health crisis or global pandemic like COVID, or an operational crisis, or a perceptual crisis, it obviously creates danger and a pitfall for a business. But how you react to that and how you come out of that also creates an opportunity to strengthen a brand, to help grow a brand, and to help a brand ultimately get to a better place. So when we think about how businesses can use storytelling in this time, you know, we want to focus, again, more sort of that altruistic bent and say, how can we help our customers and constituents get to a better place? So how can we use stories of triumph or stories about learning and getting better through the pandemic, giving them insights and strategies to move their business forward? That ultimately is how the best companies will use storytelling coming out of the pandemic, is help their customers get better, to inspire them, to give them real playbooks to follow, to use strategies and tactics to get to that next level. That's when you take that crisis and that danger and create opportunity for growth and to create opportunity to get better. So, you know, when we look at storytelling, we look at it from a standpoint of storytelling for learning, right? Storytelling for inspiring, storytelling to help get to a better place, not just to puff out our chests, but to build up those around us. And I think the brands that do that most effectively are the ones that are going to see the greatest benefit, you know, coming out of the pandemic and, you know, longer term as well.
Our second topic comes from Entrepreneur, shining a light on serious mistakes in content marketing that cost companies. Some of those mistakes were not determining the goal of each content marketing topic and not taking the time to review the performance of the efforts. In general, content marketing is a way of providing your potential customers with informative content to questions they seek with the purpose of meeting any need. But at Braithwaite, we have our own definition of content marketing that helps our clients. And in turn, their customers and clients gain greater value from their marketing efforts. How does Braithwaite define content marketing, and why is it so important to constantly review the performance of the content marketing a brand generates?
We have our own definition of content marketing that we've developed over the years. And we define content marketing as the generous act of helping your audiences solve their most pressing issues with information, insights, authority, and empathy. If we focus on that concept of a generous act, it's because the best content marketing is somewhat altruistic. You're providing insights, you're providing information, you're providing an authoritative stance and point of view to your audience that helps them get better. That's how content marketing has evolved from, you know, brand-focused messages to market-focused messages. That ultimately, you know, we look at it as a communications value chain. You have to be providing value to your end audience in a way that helps them get better for content marketing to truly be effective. So when we look at content marketing and its evolution from public relations, one of the things that makes it so effective for businesses is its measurability, right? So when you look at a piece of content now and you put that on your website, you push that out via an email marketing campaign, you put that on your social channels, you can measure how many people are clicking on that, how many people are engaging on that, how many comments you get. Are people signing up for your newsletter? Are you actually capturing leads from it? So, you know, what has made content marketing so effective is that it is so measurable and it gives you the opportunity to see what's working, to see what isn't working. And then you can change those strategies and tactics based on the reaction of your key audiences. So, you know, the idea that content marketing is so measurable gives you the opportunity to continually monitor, measure, look at what's being effective, and change it to make sure you're getting the most out of that program.
Jason, how do you set goals for content marketing and how do you end up adjusting those that miss their mark?
So when we talk about goals for content marketing, we start with business goals, right? We start with business goals. We start with the audience and key constituents that we're trying to reach and what are the actions that we want them to take. So if it's clients and we want them to increase our brand awareness among them, we want to demonstrate that our brand is credible and our experts are credible. We want to educate them on a particular facet of our offering or the market, build a positive perception, dismiss misconceptions. You know, those are all goals, but they have to tie back to your business goals, your key audiences, and how you're going to affect them and give them insights and information that's going to move the needle. When we talk about changing goals that aren't successful, I think it's less about changing goals and it's more about changing strategies and tactics to meet the goals. Ideally, the goals that you set out in the beginning should remain consistent for a significant period of time. And it's not so much changing the goals, it's changing the strategies and tactics to be able to make sure you're effectively meeting those goals. So I think we talked about this a little bit, but the idea that content marketing is so measurable is one of the huge benefits of it. So you look at your goals and then you look at how you're tracking against those goals. And if you're not getting the engagement, if you're not getting the eyeballs, if you're not getting the interaction with your end audience that you desire, then you can change it up and then measure that change and see what's doing good and what's not doing well in terms of your strategies and tactics. So your goals should remain relatively consistent. It's the strategies, tactics, and how you execute on those and measure them consistently that allows you to determine whether your campaign is being successful.
And finally, we want to give a plug to Braithwaite's weekly publication, Long Story Short. The weekly publication is free and available in your inbox every Monday and discusses a marketing lesson we could take away from some of history's most memorable marketing and even non-marketing moments. In the late 2000s, Netflix revolutionized the entertainment industry with the launch of its streaming video service. Audiences flocked to the platform, making it harder than ever for even the biggest brands to compete. But now companies like Peacock, Crackle, and Pluto TV have pioneered a new streaming model that actually recreates the aesthetic of cable TV. Their platforms feature linear programming with movies, reality shows, and classic TV episodes. Long story short, the marketing method has worked in the past. There's a good chance it could be leveraged for success in the future. Putting a fresh spin on a proven tactic just might get a whole new audience to tune in.
Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts.